podcast. Get ready. Initiating your conversation in 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, that's right. That's Phantom of the Opera, the techno remix. Hi, I am Batich Batboy, and this is Awkward Conversations. And today, I am joined by my lovely guest hosts. To my left,
Oh, hi! I'm Anastasia Washington. AKA Psycho Fembot.
We're silly today. We are.
I've had too much green tea. I'm sorry.
Oh my God. You're like on a green tea high.
Can people really get high off green tea?
I don't know. It is green.
There is a lot of caffeine in it.
You've never tried the right green tea?
Probably not.
Seriously.
Oh, I don't think you could have heard me. I'm Anastasia, a.k.a. Psycho Fembot. My button was not pushed. It is now pushed.
I like pushing buttons.
Do you? Pushing buttons. That's your thing.
So who are you?
Oh,
voice.
Who am I?
Little voice.
I'm Rachel Frumkin, a.k.a. Fasty Pants. I sadly only have one nickname. I'm not super special like Stacey.
We can call you a munchkin.
Munchkin?
Sexy munchkin?
Sexy mm-hmm. munchkin.
Dwarf? Hobbit?
Do not call me a hobbit. I don't have hairy feet.
Super hobbit. She's a super hobbit.
She's like a superhero hobbit.
Oh my God.
What about you?
I am Jeff Langston, the Phantom Kitten.
He's got a cat.
I'm still going with Phantom Kitte because it's super sassy sounding. Phantom Kitte.
Okay, Cartman.
Okay, but we can go with Kitten. It's your nickname after all.
That's right.
It's your deal.
You don't own it.
Why you gotta
the
be owning things, huh?
Processed.
And that is the end of that.
That's our show, you guys.
Bye, guys. We've actually got a fantastic show lined up for today. We're going to be talking video game music and mythology with our guests who are going to be joining us soon. Jack Wall, composer of games like Mass Effect, Myst, Jade Empire, Black Ops 2. I think he's working on Lost Planet 3 right now.
Yeah, I think that's what I saw.
And his lovely wife, Cindy Shapiro,
yay,
who has sung on some of his work, and she's toured with him for Video Games Live, which is this video game concert that's kind of awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, and she's also planning a rock opera that they're currently in, I think rehearsals are going to start rehearsals soon. So that should be awesome. But until they get here, we're going to play with ourselves. I mean,
play.
So,
when I think about you.
No. Yeah, let's do our questions with each other. Let's question each other.
Okay.
Tickle me with your question.
I want to tickle you with so many parts of my soul.
I don't want anything that you're tickling me with anymore.
Yes, you do.
That sounds
You'll get
disgusting.
Used to it. You'll get used to it, you guys. You'll get used to it.
Okay.
It'll be okay.
So.
Don't want to get used to it.
What's your question? What's your new question?
Who are you talking to?
To you, Stacey.
Oh, okay. So if you had to pick a genre of movie to live in, what would that genre of movie be?
The rest of my life.
The rest of your life is this genre of movie.
Oh,
poop. Ooh. Yeah.
This is a tricky question, Missy. This is a thinky. This is a thinky one.
I used my big girl brain for this one, so
this is a thinker.
I mean, you know.
Okay, well, I guess I would have to say a musical. Because I already want to live my life as a musical.
That's
because
really gay.
I sing all the time. So like if I could, I would live my life in a musical, because that way if I'm ever feeling something that's too emotional, logic dictates I can just sing it out.
So wait, are you saying you're like Genevieve from King of the Nerds?
I guess so. I love you, but less obnoxious. like, I was, because you said that, and automatically I was going to say, oh, romantic comedy, because I want a sassy gay friend. But I already have a sassy gay friend, and he's sitting over there, like, to my left-ish.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Awkward.
So, it just got really awkward.
Awkward.
This is the perfect moment for me to take a potato chip.
So like that, but I thought like a musical, musicals can be like sad, like they can be sad, they can be happy. You can have a sassy gay friend in a musical. You can have all the same things as a romantic comedy. It's just there's music instead of you talking.
Music.
Most of the guys in musicals are gay anyway, so.
So Jeff, what's your answer?
Sci-fi movie.
Really?
Yeah. So that way I can get the fuck off this planet.
Oh,
does science fiction necessarily mean that you have to be in space? Couldn't science fiction like, just be on Earth?
In my life, it would be in space.
Oh, because I was going to say, there's like Total Recall, which is science fiction, but that takes place in like, you know, 2024 New York or whatever.
And they also go to Mars, or at least in the Arnold Schwarzenegger version, they did.
But I'm just saying. She's just bringing her point to saying that.
We're just denying you space.
You know, Fifth Element doesn't take place in space.
I don't know. I just
what? Fifth Element?
Doesn't it? I mean, yes. It takes place like in space.
It takes place in space.
But doesn't it also take place like in like future New York?
Yeah, a few.
There's a place called there's a bakery called Chubster Bakery. I just want to say that came out.
So Facebook is basically telling you that you're a fatty fatter.
Thank you, Facebook. Frank,
I would love to be in a horror movie.
Your whole life is a horror movie.
Why not?
You realize you're a minority, right?
I could be Sidney Prescott.
You realize that you're like, a slut, so you would be the first one.
You're
dead.
A bloody minority.
You'd be dying your entire life.
No, I would be the new Sidney Prescott. Deal with it.
No, I don't think so. You're not virginal enough for it.
I don't like this.
Did you see the first Scream? She was way virginal.
Up until the end. And then she became a slut.
She didn't become a slut.
She had sex once, so she's a slut.
Oh, I'm sorry. So she's now a slut.
But I would love to be in a horror movie for the rest of my life.
I feel like he'd be that other character, Jamie Kennedy's character.
Mm.
But you'd always be...
I'd be okay with that.
So you survived,
and he died in the second movie. So.
Yeah.
But like...
Is it the second? I thought it was the third.
It was the second.
Oh.
What kind of... Like, would you live your life in a... Slasher? Like, slasher film? Like a thriller?
A zombie movie.
A zombie movie? So you'd always be running away from zombies the rest of your life?
It'd be Dawn of the Dead just every day. It wouldn't be so bad.
I'm not going to judge you for your choice because you didn't judge me for mine, but...
It wouldn't be so
I am
bad.
Judging you secretly.
It's not really a secret if you say it.
You're like the best secret keeper ever.
So I'll answer my own question. I haven't really thought about it. You know what? I will go with indie flick. What?
Your soundtrack would be so awesome.
Like an indie comedy or like an indie drama?
Indie comedy.
Ooh, like a 500 days. No, wait, that was a drama, wasn't it?
500 days.
The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
The Perks of Being a Wallflower. I would be okay like living permanently in that sphere.
I feel like my life is Perks
of Being
a Wallflower.
I really love that movie.
Yeah.
Boy, did I cry, man.
And it doesn't make me like depressed. It makes me feel like inspired. So
here's
I feel like
I
could live there.
I feel like, hey, you got a movie made about your life, dude. Everything worked out.
Yeah.
Like I was like super cool. You got a movie made about you. Super awesome. Yay for you.
Okay, who else has a question?
Okay, so
Jeff, go for your question.
Me, go for my question. If you could have one completely and totally useless superpower, what would it be, and how would you use it?
I already know.
Done. Go ahead.
Make people laugh uncontrollably. That way, if I ever come across like a person robbing a bank, all I would have to do is like my superpower, just make them laugh, and they would be laughing so hard that they would like drop their guns, they would drop whatever they stole, and then boom, I could just swoop in and take it.
Wow, hers is really peaceful and useful, kind of. Mine, I just want to be able to throw my own fat. I want to be able to eat whatever I want, and then like somebody's walking down the street and they really piss me off, and I just want to give them a
throw
big fat ass, like just like done.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Just throw the fat.
I'm just going to cut in for a second. We're joined by our guest finally. Hi, guys.
Yay!
Hello. So we're here with Jack Wall and Cindy Shapiro.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
You guys were just coming in on our awkward questions. Should we continue with our awkward questions?
Fat throwing.
Yeah, why
that
not?
That was awkward.
Yeah. Oh, that's
I agree.
That's the tamest question we've ever asked.
Should we re-ask the question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my question is, if you had to pick a genre of movie to live in for the rest of your life, what genre would you live in?
Oh, well, for me, it would have to be documentary. I mean, for me, nonfiction is like, that's all I read. It's almost all I watch. So real life, I guess, is the answer for me. How boring is that?
That's cool.
All right.
That's cool.
Jack is not going to say that. I can guarantee you that.
At least you'd be like in a really
fantasy land.
In a really intelligent genre. Like you'd always be like thinking and stuff.
Yeah, that's the theory anyway.
That's her.
And you could have different, like you could have like sad documentaries. You could have happy documentaries. It's not
a bad, just float through life and observe things. Yeah. That would be like it.
Not a bad genre.
It's funny that nobody's picked the same genre yet.
No, that's good.
That's interesting.
Really?
What does that say about our personalities, though? The genre.
I gotta go with sci-fi.
Oh, yay!
Yes.
Because, you know, how cool would it be to sleep on the Starship Enterprise? So, that would be awesome.
But also very scary because I have a phobia of space.
I mean, it's
because
just
I did
probably
Mass
won't
Effect,
go there, yeah. So you know that phobia so won't have to be exercised in real life. So that's good.
That's true. Like,
yeah.
So infinite.
Oh,
what?
You asked.
Oh, okay. I'll ask my question.
Wait.
Then. No. Wait. Jeff has to ask his question first because we were in the middle of your question.
Oh, we were in the middle of my question. And you never answered my question either.
What was it?
If you could have one completely and totally useless superpower, what would it be and how would you use it?
I don't know if it's useless, but I would love to have the power to reverse, to give someone back their virginity. I just think it'd be funny.
What?
They already do that, Frank.
They have a procedure for that.
Okay.
But I can do it with my mind now.
But wait, you would give women back their virginity?
Or like everybody back their virginity?
Why not?
That, your superpower would be
it would be a hobby. Sometimes I do it in like while they're like in the process of losing their virginity. I just give it back to them.
Just give it back to them?
Why?
Why not?
But that's cruel.
So weird. Yeah.
You asked for useless. That's the most useless I could come up with.
I mean, I guess so.
Okay.
What about you guys?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to come up with something that you feel like is useless, but I'm sitting here thinking, well, maybe it would just be like, you know, like self-regulating temperature. So if you're too cold, you just get warm. And if you're too hot, you just get cooler.
See, that's science fiction. What's the deal?
Yeah, sorry. But it's a superpower, so you just automatically step out of reality when you're a superpower. Is that useless, though? I think it's useful. That's the problem.
I think you can find usefulness to everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, I think giving somebody back their virginity is useful. In a way. Not in terms of, like, just emotionally, I think it's useful. You know, you might have squandered it on somebody who sucks. You know, and you might want to get it back have your experience with somebody and it's passionate and awesome.
But then you could do the same when they finally have a special experience and then it would be useless again.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
But it still would not be the first time. So
it would be for all those girls that are like, I can't believe I slept with that dude.
Yeah,
like,
that's what
before
I
was married or whatever, give it back to me.
Yeah.
Oh my
you
God,
would
you'd
save
be totally
a lot
good
of people.
Deed.
Actually, you would save a lot of people in like third world countries. Like women that like have to prove their virginity.
Oh my God.
You're like
Frank.
A superhero now.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
This isn't fair.
You can give like rape.
I want it to be useless.
You can give like rape victims back their virginity.
Hey, we're going dark now.
Yeah, that's dark.
I went dark.
It's dark.
I'm just saying, you can have
could
a usefulness.
You be able to give someone
and I'm not just talking about Stacey.
Virginity if they're raped by raped and pregnant.
Oh my God.
We're getting too dark.
Oh
yes. What would your superpower be?
Disneyland. I am so
I'm sorry. What was the question?
If you could have one completely and totally useless superpower, what would it be and how would you use it?
Oh, wow. To sleep forever and then when you wake up, it's like you never slept. That's a good one, right?
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's the Rip Van Winkle effect.
Yeah, you always feel like you can be asleep whenever you want, but then you can be awake whenever you want, essentially.
Hmm. Interesting. That's cool. That's a cool one.
That is useless.
That's actually really useful.
I was going to go simple and say invisibility because it is really useless.
It has use. And
are you kidding me?
It's
got to be the most useful,
powerful, useful one. I mean, invisibility was the one that first occurred to me, but I thought it can't possibly count. Yeah.
Useless.
I mean, what are you going to do with invisibility? I mean, you don't
everything?
Have any. Well, I mean, if you're.
Did you ever see a Harry Potter movie?
1,500 hot dogs. There's one.
You could slap people on the street and just watch their reaction.
You could go around like haunt, fake haunting people, and like people could think like they've got like some weird ghost in their. And like, nope, just
all
me.
This guys is all useful.
Just
to me.
I see. I would
super
just use
secret
it
meetings.
To stalk
come on.
Guys at the gym.
You can stalk guys at the gym being visible.
Yeah.
You could just
you
walk
don't
around
need a cloak of invisibility for that particular superpower.
You can just
stalking of guys superpower.
Okay, next.
All right, my question is
no.
If Hannibal Lecter was cooking you, what ingredients would he use? And what kind of meal would you like to be?
What?
Sage.
Sage.
Oh. I'd like to be eaten with a nice Chianti and
that
some fava
so
beans.
Yeah, I'd have to say I'd be a stew. I mean, I take really, really hot baths, you know, and at that point you should be just cutting up carrots and celery and onions and just putting them in the bath water anyway. It's that hot. So I would be like a stew. Hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
Stew. Yeah. Delicious.
I'd be skewered and on a spit, I think. On a, you know.
Oh, that's gross.
I like it.
Can you wrap your banana leaf?
What about you, Stacey?
Oh God, I can't. Well,
you do have
I
that.
Can't, my dual races. Like, if you're just eating the black side of me, then I want to be like chicken and waffles. But if you're eating like the white side of me, I really want some white truffle oil, like all over.
You can have
white truffle chicken and waffles. It's happening.
New recipe.
New recipe.
Rachel?
I think only Stacey heard my clever joke. I said I'd be cooked with Chianti and some nice fava beans. I guess I'd want to be a cake.
You'd want to be baked?
I want to be baked.
Not fried?
No. The whole southern part of my family just like was like, I can't believe you don't want to be fried.
Deep fried
no,
butter?
I want to be like in a, I guess like a cake, and I want to be like a red velvet. Okay, this is just going to become so gross. I apologize to my guests. I want like my blood to be like the red dye in the red velvet cake.
Okay.
And my fat could be used as a shortening.
I just want to interject that I'm a vegetarian and this is beyond disgusting.
So, if I had to be eaten by a cannibal, that's what I would want to be.
So everybody, take note. We're baking a cake next week.
I apologize to the guests.
A frumpkin cake.
What about you, Jeff?
Oh, I think I would want to be laid out on a bed of asparagus because I just love asparagus. Spice, I think sriracha.
Ooh.
Would have to use sriracha.
I was thinking you were going to be like some like sausage and pepper kind of stuff.
You're a sausage and pepper kind
really?
Of person.
No, I'm not apparently. A sausage and pepper kind of person.
He's not, but I just thought one gay man would make that joke. Continue.
Or I could be a hot dog.
That's what I thought. I thought that was going to happen. But, you know,
So what's your question, Rachel?
My question is...
Did you answer it?
What? Oh, what I... Oh,
oh yeah.
No,
what
I didn't.
What would you be?
I would be a ham, a baked ham.
A baked ham.
With like pineapple?
Mm-hmm, wrapped in bacon.
With like the little maraschino cherries.
I'm simple.
Skewer through. Mm.
And I like
you
ham.
You are. Yes, you do.
I think you'd be a spam sandwich.
Gross.
You don't know me.
Yuck, spam is gross. So my question is, if you could do a recasting of Gilligan's Island with modern the people now, who would you cast as the different roles?
Oh. Wow.
Wow. Can you be specific?
Like,
can you just pick one character?
Yeah.
Okay, so
otherwise we're going to be here for
ever, right? Yeah. So who would you recast as Ginger, the professor, and Gilligan?
And you say modern, meaning right now or in the
current?
In the last.
Yeah, like current, like the
somebody
last.
Alive.
Yeah, like last 10 years, I would say. Like current actors.
Well, I'm going to put Robert Downey Jr. as the professor. I think he'd be great.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with Robert Downey
Jr. Yeah, he's good at everything. Yeah. He could just handle that role, you know?
Who's Ginger, though?
The movie star.
No.
I meant who would she be?
Everyone knows Ginger.
I'm sorry.
I'm a young boy.
If you knew the morning I've had.
Because, you want that camp factor.
But you also want her to be
she was trying to be Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Right.
On the set. So, there's really, who do you say? Megan Hilty?
Cameron Diaz?
Megan Hilty would work. That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, but it doesn't really work because she's not really like that.
See, I'm probably going to get yelled at, but she was the person I thought of because I was looking at something and Megan Fox came up and I was like, oh, you know, if they were to do something like modern day Gilligan's Island, they would probably cast Megan Fox as Ginger.
She has no personality, though.
Yeah, I know, the whole va-va-voom, sex kitten-y kind of thing, I was like, oh, she could possibly be it.
I was thinking they'd do Scarlett Johansson or something like that.
Scarlett Johansson.
Or Cameron Diaz, I was thinking maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Megan Hilty. That's a really good answer. And I liked Robert Downey Jr. Gilligan, I was thinking Jay Baruchel might be a really good, he's kind of goofy.
He'd be good.
Jason Segel, he's kind of goofy.
Michael Cera.
Who's that guy from Girls? The guy who plays Ray on Girls. He'd be good Gilligan. I can't remember his name.
I don't know that. Google it, somebody.
Ray. I think his name is Ray.
I'm on it.
He'd be good as Gilligan.
Yeah, he would be.
He would.
Or the guy who plays the slow guy on Arrested Development.
Tony Hale.
Alex Karpovsky.
Okay, Alex Karpovsky.
Tony Hale would be a good Gilligan, yeah.
I said Professor Marianne. I have to tell you a story.
Go ahead.
Sure.
I was at a thing at CSUB up in Bakersfield, right? Ooh. Last night, it was all gamers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys that was sort of producing the event came in with a full suit and a cane.
Oh, my God.
And he told me that he played that guy when he was 13 on episode 13 of season 1 of Arrested Development. So I'm very excited to see that.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Super cool.
And he was the perfect guy for that. Anyway, that's a really boring story, but
it was quite fascinating.
I like the part with the explosions.
Arrested Development didn't get renewed.
What? Yeah.
It's only for one season.
It's
supposed to be a movie after.
But they were
hoping. It was only one season?
Yeah.
They're only doing one season for Netflix.
One season for Netflix, and then it's going to be a movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. And it's 2003 it came out, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It holds up so well. And I didn't start watching until I would say 2-3 years after it was off the air.
Portia de Rossi.
She could be good.
Play Ginger.
Oh, yeah.
She's
awesome. She'd be good as Ginger.
I want her in more things. I just love her.
She's very camp.
Yeah.
I liked her actually in the Munsters.
The Munsters pilot was awesome.
It was really good. I was really surprised. Yeah, I was sad. It's don't give us the pilot then, please. Don't do that to me.
Right.
They're going to do a movie?
I hate when they do that.
Brand new movie of Arrested Development?
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, they just did one season on Netflix, and now they're doing a movie. But they were in talks to do a second season, and they were not. It did not.
I'm so confused. I thought they did three seasons.
No, they did three seasons of the show.
Right. And then Netflix
is doing the fourth season.
Just recently.
They're going to do a new season.
They're filming it right now.
Yeah. And then after that new season, they're going to do a movie.
And the way
they're following up House of Cards with this.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm,
yes.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be released in May.
I'm so glad I came today just to
learn. just to learn that info.
And the more you know.
And the way that it's set up is...
I'm in my cave. I don't know anything. Unless somebody tells me.
There's 13 episodes. I think 13 or 14. And each episode is supposed to be focused on one of the main characters. And it's all going to be, it's like if you just take all 13 episodes and combine them, it's one episode, if that makes any sense. It's like something's going to happen and in one episode, and that character will go off into another episode, their own episode, and it'll follow them. What? So essentially, it's like the same story just told from different points of view.
Oh, that's cool. And they're probably gonna release all the episodes
at the same day.
Yeah, it's such crack monkey stuff. I mean, you binge on these things,
right?
That's what happens. I marathon watch on Netflix, and I don't know what to do because like when I'm done with like watching all the seasons I need to watch, I'm like now what?
I have to find
it. Now my life is empty.
I'm like this show is no longer on the air. Now what do I do?
I love Netflix and I hate it also, but I love it.
That's the worst.
And now I have Hulu Plus.
Which is doubly worse. I had it for a week and I was like, I can't.
Well, I'd never leave my room. I tried it for 5 seconds because they started with an ad and I thought, I'm not paying for ads, I'm done, and I canceled my subscription.
That's true, but they have so many more BBC shows.
They have like out like
that, you know.
I was gonna watch all of Downton Abbey on it and then I could do
that with Netflix
and you can torrent.
Not the second season, you can't.
Not that I'm advocating
the first
torrents.
Season
patience
of Downton. I don't have it.
Well, that's our awkward questions. Let's move on to the topics of today. Music and mythology.
Woo-woo.
All right.
Yay.
We like that.
Yay. We do.
So,
we have arrived.
So, Jack, you've worked on Black Ops. You've worked on Myst. She's a big fan of Myst.
Oh. I lost many hours of my childhood.
You're doing Lost Planet 3 now, right?
Yeah.
How's that coming along?
It's great.
Yay. I love those games.
Do you really?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No.
That was horrible.
I love the games.
Oh, you know,
because
client relations are like going through the roof right now.
They all know it.
I love the games.
It's a horrible game.
I will love a crappy game just because of the story. Like, I'm a fan of concepts as much as story and gameplay. So, I mean.
Come on. You loved, and seriously, musically speaking, in Lost Planet 2, you had Jamie Christopherson's great, you know, orchestral score, and then you had J-pop playing in the training mission. I mean, it was so weird. It was very
Japanese.
I think I'm turning Japanese. I think I've lost my niece to Black Ops, too. I hardly ever see her anymore. She like plays like 8-9 hours of it.
How
Haley,
could you?
If you're listening.
How could you?
Shout out to Haley. But, even when she is like on a date with her boyfriend, they play Black Ops.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, we spend so much time working on the single player campaign of that and nobody plays it. It's all multiplayer.
Yeah.
What's a single player campaign?
Single player campaign is really, it's just you against the machine. So you're playing against the AI of the game. And there's a storyline. And you
What's
go through
the storyline. I thought it was all about shooting things.
Right, that's the multiplayer. That's what most people play.
Yeah, the game.
Right. But there's three separate parts of the game. There's a single player campaign. I'm schooling you right now.
You're being schooled.
You're being schooled. Single player campaign, then there's multiplayer, which most people play, and then there's zombies, which a lot of other people play for fun. You know, because everyone loves zombies.
Who loves zombies?
Yeah.
Who loves zombies here?
It's like an upgrade. Like, my niece had to pay like $70 to get upgraded into the zombie mode thing.
So you recorded at Abbey Road, right?
I did.
How was that?
How do you think it was?
Awesome.
It was better than that.
Are there any other projects you're working on?
No. I just finished Lost Planet 3, and now I'm about to start work on something that I can't talk about yet, but it's pretty cool.
It's top secret. Hush.
It's classified.
Hush.
Yeah, and it's all going down right now. And it's really exciting. I'm very excited about it.
Nice. I'm also excited because you were excited.
We're excited for you, even though we don't know what's going on.
I'm excited for you to be excited. That's how great it is.
How long does it usually take you to score a video game?
As long as they give me. That's the short answer. But usually we get about a year to do it.
Okay. Do you go through and play the game before you score it?
you know, in the last 5 years or so, the technology has improved such that when people make games, the developers making a game, they can actually make a level immediately because their engine is pretty sophisticated now. The game engine, the thing that actually runs the game, so they can sort of like the game designer can say, okay, we're going to put a room here and a room here and a room here, and we're going to go through this, and this is what's going to happen. So it's almost like they're writing what happens in that level. So when they do that, it may not be skinned with what it's really going to. It might just be a room full of boxes immediately. And then the second level would be they'll skin it. And the third level would be a better render of it. And like the fourth level would be a finished render. And all those things kind of build up over time. So before you used to like finish a level, go to the next level, start from scratch, finish that level, go to the next level. But now it's sort of like we're going to design the entire experience first. Right, and then we're going to sort of mock it up and like think of stick figures doing it, you know. Mm-hmm. But you can actually play through the game right away. So by the time I start, they're usually at the third stage, which is the skin stage, where you can actually see things in the world. So what they'll do is they'll like do a video capture of somebody playing that level, and then they'll give me that along with a script and. Then I can actually score that whole level to picture. I just pull it into my computer, and I'm watching a movie of the playthrough, and I can sort of spot where music should go and where it shouldn't go. You know, what type of music it should be, and we can all kind of agree with, you know, the audio team, the audio director, myself can sort of like what we call spot the level, right, and figure out where music goes. So it's pretty cool now. It's almost like scoring a film at this point. You know, because I can like be writing music from the very beginning, and it's in the game. Mm-hmm. And then if in the example of Call of Duty, where we had a nice budget for recording live musicians, the music's already in the game as a mock-up. And then I take my assistant and I take our files and Pro Tools and all that technical stuff. We go to Abbey Road. It's all synchronized with most of the music I write is what's called hybrid music. So it's like a mixture of orchestral and synthesizer stuff and beats and all kinds of stuff. So I mix all kinds of styles within all of that. And then, you know, so I can replace all the mocked up orchestra with real orchestra and then mix all of that together in a nice mix and a nice professional mix and a final mix. And, you know, and then they can put it in the game. That's how it works.
Very cool.
That's epic.
I hope I didn't bore you to tears.
No, that was
no,
like,
no. Like, now I want to put it in the game.
I don't want to say anything because that was super fascinating.
I want to play the games.
What's your favorite game that you've worked on?
Oh, you know, I'm kind of partial. So I got asked this question a lot yesterday. I'm kind of partial to the Myst series because I really love those games. They're kind of my favorite type of game where you get lost in these places that are really fantastic, you know. So if it wasn't sci-fi that I wanted to live in, it would be like fantasy, like Myst or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to live in the world of Myst and sort of create it as I go along. Because the whole premise, if you don't know about Myst, is that there's an art of writing these books, right? And when you write a book, it's just genius, right? You write when you write in a special way in the book. It's all to do with the script and the actual words you use. You're actually creating a world that you can go to. So you write this book and then you put your
hand called on. Programming, computer programming.
People actually
know how to do that. It's great.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I used to
language, a certain format, creates
but
a world.
But that's a virtual world. This is a real world that you're going to. That's the premise in the game. Is
yeah,
that
we're talking about real
book.
Things.
Yeah, it's real.
I was a coder for 20 years, something
don't
like that.
I give you props for that.
I don't want to know. I just want to go there.
How the sausage gets made.
Yeah, don't do that.
I love that. That's the fun part.
That's because you like documentaries and I like fiction.
No, but writing code is that feeling of creating these like fantastical worlds. That's how it feels.
And that's why we create things.
That's right.
But we like to suspend the disbelief as much as possible and actually go there in a matter of
speech. I do too. Once the code is done.
Okay. Once the work is done.
Well,
I don't want to work. I just want to go there.
We've been together for 18 years, just so you know. And we really love each other. I don't know how it's love. Coming off, but we love each other.
No, I think it sounds very passionate. Yeah. 18 years, that's great.
Yeah, long time.
I lost many an hour playing Myst as a kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all the games are really good, all of them.
I have the soundtracks on my iPod.
It's because my dad played
Which
Myst,
is your favorite soundtrack?
Three, of course.
Three. I know. Yeah. Three is amazing.
Every once in a while, I'll go back and listen to it.
So good.
Like, theme from Madonna is really on my... I play it while I'm driving all the time.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
That was one take, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, when I did it, I was standing in the vocal booth in our studio at home, and I finished the take, and I was looking through the glass at Jack, and he was like slumped over his desk. He was crying. And I told somebody that story, and they were like, well, either it was really good or it just sucks so bad.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing that moment. You know, you get those great, you know, that's why I love composing music, because you get these wonderful moments of just beauty and perfection. You know, it's just like that happened. And they come out of nowhere, you know.
Yeah, but you know, the musical bed was already there, yeah. Right? So it was this lush, delicious, you know, really deep, rhythmic, you know, sexy thing that I suddenly was lying in, right? And so it was really easy to just open my mouth and start gushing into it. I mean, it was just great.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah, it really was. Really, really was.
The double entendre will start.
Yeah. It was great.
It felt like
this really kind of that magical thing where that you're looking for in
music.
I
love
music.
Magical things.
I do too. Part of reality.
My God, Frank.
And just not to change the subject, but you asked me what my favorite score was, I think. Yeah. I love all of my scores. And that's not to say I love everything I've done. I mean, I always think, oh, I could have done that better or this one thing. But I really just, they're kind of my babies, you know?
Right.
And I'm really super proud of Black Ops and the upcoming Lost Planet and the stuff I did on Mass Effect and Jade Empire. All those are really, like, it was pretty cool. I went to iTunes last week or whatever, and I just typed, you know, selfishly typed in my own name, and up popped 10 albums. And I thought, that is pretty cool. You know, I actually I'm leaving something behind. When I'm gone, those 10 albums will still be on iTunes. You know what I mean? It's kind of cool. I'm leaving something behind that, you know, and I thought, wow, the work I'm doing is pretty interesting. I never thought about it really in that way. And it was cool. I really, everyone's like, not that, you know.
We just like listening to you.
We like listening to you guys.
We are
just, like,
in
listening
awe.
To you. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, and then I started doing that with a lot of other people that I know, and I thought, wow, all these people are creating all this great stuff they're gonna leave it behind. It's really, really quite wonderful.
He makes Googling yourself sound so amazing. I just Google myself and other people for selfish reasons.
Yeah.
You know, research.
Are you guys gamers, or do you game often? Or
I game when I have to. I really don't have time. I you know, it was so funny because I was talking to Susan O'Connor yesterday. She writes for like Far Cry, and she just did the most recent Tomb Raider and Gears of War. She does all these great.
Looks amazing.
She's a writer. Yeah, you know who she is?
No, just the work that she's done.
Yeah,
I didn't
really
know that was her, but.
Right? And she's just a really interesting person because she writes the worlds and she knows how to write interactively and all of that. And we were just talking about it. And I'm like, you know, you go to these meetings and everybody's like, oh yeah, I played that game. Yeah. Oh, I beat that game. Yeah. And you know, they're lying. It's like they're working 80 hours a week, 100 hours a week to make the game that they're working on. And they have a stack of games over here. They're not going to get to them until they're done. You know, they didn't play them. You know, it's just one of those funny things. It's like sort of like, oh, you're not cool if you haven't played every single game out there. You just can't. And I'm just being real. Just keeping it real.
I must be like the most uncool person ever.
You don't play games?
I do. I haven't.
You play Myst.
I'm weird. Like, I don't, when I'm alone or like when I have time, I don't typically play video games. But when people are over, Yeah. Like, I'll play games with them or do stuff like that. I'm just not, like, a just solo game player. I will play
right.
in
social. You know, and I think a lot of people are like that. I think they look at games as a way to connect through the machine, as it were, where, like, multiplayer experience mm-hmm. is actually fun. Yeah. You're playing with your friends. And Susan was talking about this in her talk yesterday, where she was saying that we have to learn how to deal with each other through the machine better, you know? It's kind of like, you know, when you're in a car and you almost hit somebody or somebody almost hits you and you're like, yeah, screw you. And you're yelling at them and you hate them. And but if you were just walking down the street and you bumped into somebody, you would say, oh, I'm sorry. Right?
Right.
But you're in the machine, so you're mad. You're mad because that machine and that jerk who's running that machine just came close mm-hmm. to hitting me, and they're big jerks and I hate them.
Assholes.
I didn't want to say it, but, you know, you're an asshole.
I must be weird because I only play, like, the single-player campaigns in any games.
Yeah,
I never play online.
But, yeah, but you're a gamer. I would define you as a gamer, you know.
Yeah, I would not define myself.
And I don't play games, but I was a game developer for many years. So my specialty was interactive fiction and human behavior modeling and artificial emotion systems. So that's what I was working on when I met Jack, and it was really fun, and I worked with some really, really interesting creative people during that time.
Yeah, I wouldn't even be a composer in video games if it wasn't for Cindy. I mean, she's the one who introduced me, and I was, like, really interested in her because she was in this world, and I was like, wow, what's that like? And tell me about it.
Wow.
And suddenly I realized I was on a date.
What were you doing?
It was love.
What were you doing before you became a composer?
I was a record producer.
Oh, really good record producer. Jack's a great producer. He's got amazing, amazing ears. I mean, that's one of the things that when Jack's your composer is you've got this unbelievable producer also. That's how we met. I had a band and we had a record deal and Jack came in to do some recording for us and some mixing. And we were like, oh my God, this guy's like so good. He really gets our sound and he's a really, really talented guy like on the desk. Like on the mixing console. He's
really
so
funny.
Talented.
Her band was full of like type A personalities. It was really, really funny because I had never worked with them before. And we cut some, I think, drums and some guitars and finished up. You did a vocal. They were recording super fast. And it was time to mix. And I was I was pretty comfortable in the studio. So I just said to them, you know, the way I like to work, guys, is let me get the mix going. Let me do all this sort of grunt work that I have to do to make the mix happen and get it up. And you guys, why don't you just go for a walk and come back in like about an hour? And they were all like, what?
No,
what?
I mean, what happened was, this is the way I remember it. Jack starts mixing and we were so fucking obnoxious. I mean, it was like four completely annoying, full of themselves musicians going, hey, you know what? Pull that fader up this way, a little more reverb on that. And if you can move, you know, if you can pan that left, we were just annoying. And Jack was like super calm. And he turned to us and he said, hey, guys, why don't you do this? Why don't you guys like go and get a cup of coffee for like an hour? And then, you know, and I'll get some sounds up and then you can come back and, you know, we'll take a listen. And I mean, the four of us looked at each other like, wow, no one's ever talked to us that way before. First of all, like completely rationally and calmly. And then we kind of slunk out of there like the idiots that we were. I was in a band with amazing musicians. But anyway, they were incredible. But we left the studio. When we came back, like this magical sound was going on and we'd never sounded like that in a studio mix before. And, yeah, and it was my bass player who kept saying to Jack, you should ask her out. You should ask her out. She's doing this cool interactive stuff, blah, blah. And then he did ask me out on a business, you know, for a business drink. So
was that the wording?
Business drink.
Cindy, I'm interested in what you're doing. Do you mind if I pick your brain one maybe sometime this week? You know, if you have time. You know, can we get together? And because I'd love to like learn about what you do.
Yeah. This is where
that's a good way to ask somebody out.
That's the thing.
He was literally, not just asking me out.
I was really not.
Really?
No. I was on a date, but he wasn't.
That's awesome.
It was a good day.
It was about, I don't know, 6 hours in when I realized.
Jack's like, oh man, I'm on a date.
She invited me up to her apartment for a whiskey.
Yeah, he likes to tease me.
You invited me up to your apartment for a whiskey, yeah. And I just started laughing.
I lived in this awesome little pied-à-terre in the West Village. I was like, come in, we'll have a whiskey. It was like 2 a.m. That's when he realized he was on a date.
He's like, I get it now.
Yeah, he's like, oh, naive. Naive boy.
Our whole relationship was, I think, you know, I didn't realize I was asking you to marry me when I asked you to marry me. So sad.
Oh, adorable. It's decided. I want to be you two when I go. Just like, want to live.
No offense, but they're grown already.
Not yet.
We're still growing up. I still look at people and I go, I want to be you
I'm
when I grow
sure
up.
I'm not sure we're grown up yet.
We're not done.
When you're over
we really aren't done.
I am not.
Shut your face.
I mean, none of us are over 25
shut
on the show.
Your face.
No, we're not.
None of us. Well, some of us aren't. For reals.
For real.
I'm a baby.
Whatever. Shut up. I'm so, spreading your youth in our face.
So you guys are working on psyche now, right?
We're working on our psyches. Yeah, we're working on psyche. We're in deep therapy right now.
Yes.
Couple therapy. Can you tell? No, psyche.
So how's
psyche
that going?
Is my opera. Yeah, that's what we're working on.
How's that going?
It's going great. We're really excited. Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, it's a really awesome piece of work that Cindy's completely 100% responsible for. She wrote it. It's all your fault. She wrote the book. She wrote the libretto. She wrote the music. And it shocked me when I first started. She went to Paris to do it. She had an artist in residency in Paris, which is like pretty highfalutin art thing to do. But it's very Cindy. You know, she just decided this is what she wanted to do. And she's suddenly in Paris and, you know. Playing mom and dad at home, and that was totally awesome. And I'm not kidding about it. It was just a really great time. She went out there, and her day consisted of waking up whenever, going down for coffee and a croissant, then going to the local museum, and then coming home and writing every day for 3 months.
A tough life.
It was great.
It was amazing. It really was.
And the other part
highly
of it
recommended.
She would send me, you know, pieces back to me, you know, and I'd listen to him right away, and I was like, oh my God, this is good. This is really good.
Shocking.
Good. It's better than, you know, it's like better than I would write, you know. It's like, I just felt like this is really different, and I'm excited about it because it's different. It's not video game music, which is, you know, I love doing that, but this was like something that had legs, something that could last. And
I think you're my new couple
that.
Idol.
I went up to Paris with a keyboard, a laptop with Logic, which is music, you know, composition program, a guitar, and a microphone, and one bag of clothes. And I was living in a place called Cité Internationale des Arts.
Oh, I love when you talk like that.
Oh, it's French. So it was an amazing place. It's a collection of artist lofts and studios all in one, actually two buildings in the Marais district, which is the fourth arrondissement. It's like right across the river from Notre Dame. And like 300 artists live there from all over the world and doing work in all kinds of disciplines. Sorry, somebody's buzzing or beeping or something.
Oh, me?
That would be you, Jay.
Oh, sorry. Make it stop.
And please. And it's run by the Ministry of Culture of France. And when you get there, they give you, it's like almost like college life. They give you this little room. It's private bath in this amazing area of town. And it's really funny when I was talking to Americans about, oh, I'm going to go do this thing. And people would go, so when do you have to deliver something to them? And I would go, never. And they would say, well, do you have to perform it or do you have to like do some kind of showcase of the work you're doing there? No. I don't understand. What do they get out of it? Well, the French love the arts and see its value in the culture and want to promote that. Why? Where's the monetary value of it? It's a cultural, like it's really hard to explain to people that there was no overarching goal for Cité. Anyway, I got there and I lived there for 3 months. There were artists from all over the world there. And they did all kinds of things. I mean, the people who were doing soft sculpture, people who were painting, people who were working in repertoire, all kinds of dancing, everything you could imagine. And I was issued an artist card, which got me into a bunch of museums for free, which was, it was just amazing. So when I was working on Psyche, so Psyche's this Greek myth, and it's from the late Greek period. And it's about a human girl who falls in love with the god Eros, and all kinds of trouble ensues from that. And there's been a lot of artwork about Psyche, and there's artwork about her all over Paris. And so I would just go with a notebook and just look at, stand in front of really famous paintings or sculptures or, you know, ceramic plates. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff, drawings, antiquities, like statues from antiquity, and just stand there and free write and then go, oh, fuck, I totally missed. You know, forgot something about Eros. Like I would see something in a sculpture and realize that I was missing something in the story that an artist in 1772 had insight into that was feeding me in 2011 was when I was there. So I'd run back to my studio and I would write. And then I would bounce tracks and I would send them to Jack. And he was my first sounding board and he was so positive about everything that I was sending him that I just kept feeling like, okay, I think I really trust his aesthetic. So I just kept feeling like, okay, I'm on track. I'm just going to keep going through the story. And basically I wrote it linearly. I wrote my way through the story scene by scene.
Hey, real quick question, not to interrupt Cindy, but what happens when that gets to zero?
Does the world end?
Blow up?
Yeah.
There's a timer in here and I'm like watching it. It's like 3 minutes left. What happens?
Oh,
We've got
the studio explodes.
We're good. Okay.
But we'll still continue.
Let's just take three of these.
Huh? Oh, okay.
So, unfortunately, we're running out of time. So we're going to move on to Marry, Fuck, Kill. Have you guys ever played Marry, Fuck, Kill?
No. She had to explain to me what it was.
So the basic gist is you choose three. I mean, it's super simple. You choose three people. You marry one. You sleep with another, and you kill somebody.
Oh, there's one. I don't know who it is. Ooh. I have to call my daughter.
Kill that person.
Yeah, I'm not sure. My daughter's going to be so mad. She's 16, and she's like an absolute expert on Greek mythology. And I'm going to look at one of these and go, I'm not sure. I should call her and go, what's this one? She's going to be pissed.
We can Google anything.
I don't want to know any of these people. What?
Oh. So who did you get?
You know them.
Prometheus, Odysseus, and Danny Elfman.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
Danny Elfman is a clear fucker in that.
Come on. Danny Elfman, that's a Mary right there.
That's
a bank account you want some access to right there.
I think I'd like to marry Odysseus because I'd never see him.
Danny Elfman is like 20 years of my life anyway.
I don't want to marry a guy. You know, it's nothing wrong with that, but it's not my thing.
It's okay. I feel like I don't want to marry a dog either. So I got a dog.
All right.
Well, not all of us can marry Hitler.
You read him out and say who you'd marry.
Yeah, someone married Hitler.
Somebody look up Heracles because I can't remember who Heracles is. Sorry. Sorry, Gracie, if you're listening, or if you ever listen.
Is she listening?
I don't know.
She's not listening.
Our daughter.
Oh, there you go. Did you already say your three?
Son of Zeus.
I did.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yikes.
All right, so mine is Poseidon, Heracles, and Apollo. Somebody put Apollo Creed in parentheses. I'm just going to ignore that.
I didn't do any of that.
That's really funny.
It's just going to be Apollo.
But would you want to kill Apollo Creed?
No. I don't want to kill really anybody. But Apollo, I would definitely marry Apollo. Apollo is one of my...
What about Apollo Creed? I really want to know what you do with him.
I'd fuck him, honey. That's what I would do.
Oh.
Does that feel good? Feel better now?
Awesome. You know,
sorry.
You can't nudge that tiger.
No, you know. I have to say I would marry Apollo. I have a record coming out called Sun God's Consort, and it's a lot about Apollo. And I have a thing with the Greek gods. Anyway, Apollo is the god of the sun and the god of logic, the god of music, the god of prophecy. And I think he'd make a really good spouse. He's rational. He's creative. He is good at giving advice. He'd be a really good partner.
Sounds like somebody I know.
Yeah, just like, And I think I would fuck Poseidon because, you know, there's all that roiling water and, you know, there's all kinds of passion.
Really hope Gracie's
with Poseidon, and she won't care. And then she's used to it, man. She's grown up with this. And then Heracles, because I don't really know that character very well, I'd have to kill him.
Plus, Kevin McKidd played Poseidon and.
He did.
And the Lightning Thief. So.
All right. I'm going to do my next. We're running out of time, so I'm just going to. Burst through these. I got John Barry, who I'm gonna fuck because we could have the James Bond theme playing.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Although I didn't write that.
Oh, damn it. Well, he'll do ambient music or whatever. I'll kill Athena because
you're stupid.
It's Athena.
No, she's the goddess of war, right? So killing her would be right in line with her line of work.
She'd love it.
Yeah.
It'd basically be like fucking her too.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'd marry Claude Debussy.
Oh, yeah.
Debussy.
I would too.
Debussy.
Claude Debussy. Oh, yeah, yeah.
What about you, Jeff?
Me. Okay. I am going to fuck Frédéric Chopin because he's like the youngest of the three that I have. I'm going to kill Howard Shore. I'm going to kill Howard Shore.
Epic music while you kill him.
I am going to marry Alan Silvestri because he owns his own vineyard.
Oh. These are excellent
you
points.
You totally looked that all up on the page there.
No, we don't serve the internet while we're on here.
What about you, Casey?
We're smart.
I don't like the ones I got, but I'll go. I'm going to kill Brahms.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. You'd sound sorry. About that.
Sorry.
It's okay. He'd have a lullaby to like die to.
I'm gonna fuck Beethoven. Just because you know.
Because he can't hear you.
Because he can't hear you. You have to go off the vibrations.
And, you know, he's kind of my type. Silent and douchey. And I got Severus. Okay, this is the reason why I hate it because I'm not gonna kill a dog. You know how I feel about that. And I don't want to fuck him. I'm just going to have a non-sexual marriage with the three-headed dog. That's it.
You're trying to get him a green card.
He'd be a great guard dog.
But he would.
What about you?
Protect you.
Best awesome. Yeah.
Best awesomeness.
My dog won't.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I got Karlheinz Stockhausen, Peter Tchaikovsky, and Agamemnon.
Aggie!
That's why I started laughing, because I was thinking about the car.
Oh, ride. Aggie!
So, I think I'm going to have to kill Karlheinz, because, I don't know, electronic music is super awesome, but I can't get behind it that much. Sorry. That's okay. This is like making up for sleeping with Hitler and killing.
You married Hitler.
Tchaikovsky, okay. I'm kind of torn because I kind of want to marry him because he wrote some like really
make a
awesome,
decision now.
He really awesome Beth, ballets.
Just take it off like a band-aid. Do it.
Okay, peer pressure, peer pressure, peer pressure.
I guess I'm going to marry him and sleep with Agamemnon.
Aggie!
Because he'd start a war for me if anything ever happened.
That's true. Well, that's our show, guys. Thank you for listening.
Plug.
Yeah, plugs. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Friendster, Carrier Pigeon, whatever.
We don't have a
Carrier Pigeon?
We do have a Carrier Pigeon. True story. Thanks to
Google
our...
Plus?
Yeah, Google Plus.
Google Plus. That right? That's
so sad. And thank you to our sponsors, rabblerouserindustries.com, Discovery Science Center, and thank you to our wonderful guests for coming on the show.
Yay!
We love you guys.
Thank you.
Come back
pleasure.
Again.
We will.
And again.
We're not
and again. And again.
We're just staying
and,
here.
And plugs to any of your stuff that you're working on or doing?
Yeah,
your
go to www.psycherockopera.com. P-S-Y-C-H-E. That is, we're going to be mounting that sometime in 2013. And our director, look up our director, Michael Matthews. He will just destroy you. He's so gifted.
So much,
it's amazing.
Mounting and destroying here.
Yeah.
And you definitely know? Like it on Facebook.
Yeah, like it on Facebook, Psyche Rock Opera.
We'll share it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do that.
Oh. Yeah.
And
we have a huge event coming up. Yes. On March 30th.
Real quick, March 30th. At Comic Book Hideout in Fullerton, we are doing International Tabletop Day Jamboree.
Yay!
Woo! Yay! Woo! Now get out of our studio.
Now leave.
All right. Oh, man.